We're reading today Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, Chapter 19, Text 22 and 23. I'll read first 22. It's without purports, and then we're going to proceed on next verse. Translation. All that was spoken by the great sages was very sweet to hear, full of meaning and appropriately presented as perfectly true. So, after hearing them, Maharaj Parikshit, desiring to hear of the activities of Lord Krishna, or Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, congratulated great sages. Verse 23. Translation. The king said, O great sages, you have all very kindly assembled here, having come from all parts of the universe. You are all as good as the supreme knowledge personified, who resides in the planet above the three worlds, Satyaloka. Consequently, you are naturally inclined to do good to others, and but for this, you have no interest either in this life or in the next. Now listen carefully. In this verse, there are quite few, I would say, controversies, or even contradictions, or at least things which needs to be clarified. I would request you to note down what you pop-ups for you, so we can try to elaborate together. Listen carefully and you can note down. Six kinds of opulences, namely wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation, are all originally the different attributes pertaining to the Absolute Personality of Godhead. The living beings, who are part and parcel entities of the Supreme Being, have all these attributes partially, up to the full strength of 78%. In the material world, these attributes, up to 78% of the Lord's attributes, are covered by the material energy, as the sun is covered by a cloud. The covered strength of the sun is very dim compared to the original glare, and similarly, the original color of the living beings with such attributes become almost extinct. There was quite a few contradictions already. Probably didn't notice them. Huh? There are three planetary systems, namely the lower worlds, the intermediate worlds, and the upper worlds. The human beings on Earth are situated at the beginning of the intermediate world, but the living beings like Brahma and his contemporaries live in the upper worlds, of which the topmost is Satyaloka. In Satyaloka, the inhabitants are fully cognizant of the Vedic wisdom, and thus the mystic cloud of material energy is cleared. Therefore, they are known as Vedas personified. Such persons, being fully aware of knowledge, both mundane and transcendental, have no interest in either the mundane or transcendental worlds. They are practically desireless devotees. In the mundane world, they have nothing to achieve, and in the transcendental world, they are full in themselves. Then why they come to the mundane world? They descend on different planets as messiahs by the order of the Lord to deliver the fallen souls. On the earth, they come down and do good to the people of the world in different circumstances, under different climatic influences. They have nothing to do in this world save and except reclaim the fallen souls rotting in this existence, deluded by material energy. Okay, two words again, I read. All that was spoken by the great sages was very sweet to hear, full of meaning and appropriately presented as perfectly true. So, after hearing them, Maharaj Parikshit, desiring to hear of the activities of the Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, congratulated the great sages. The king said, O great sages, you have all very kindly assembled here, having come from all parts of the universe. You are all as good as the supreme knowledge personified, who resides in the planet above the world, Satyaloka, above the three worlds, Satyaloka. Consequently, you are naturally inclined to do good to others, and but for this, You have no interest either in this life or in the next. Jashla Prupa Tadita Pavana Ki Jai. To arrange one shelf here, to put the book. Okay. So the king said, "O great sages, you have kindly assembled here, having come from all parts of the universe." Means coming from all parts of the universe. But none of them from Vaikuntha. They were scattered throughout the material universe as a missionaries, all these great sages. Not from those planets which are mentioned in verse 21, which is, what's his name, Ujeshwari, Mataji, who gave class, verse 21, last week, mention of these planets, you know, of Vaikunthas. So they were not from there. They are in this material world. They are gathered now to see for the last time Maharaj Parikshit. He's mentioned in this verse, or in verse previous. They will not be able, or in Parput is mentioned actually, they will not be able to see him anymore. See, that means he's going to go to different abode, which they are not residing at present. So they were not envious, you know, like, we are great Tyagis, renunciate, you know, mystic yogis, whatever. And he's just a mere king, worldly man. He's perfecting his life. How is that? So they were not envious, see. But they should be. Their desire is to enable everybody, all living entities, to go to that abode. And this is very, very rare. So when one jiva is perfecting his life, it's just amazing things to see, you know, as Prabhupada would say, you know, if I create one single devotee, my mission is successful. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also. It's so rare. You see, we can kind of be elevated through all this Vedic ways, I don't know, like typical karma kanda, then jnana kanda, upasana kanda, have a varnashrama, achieve vaidhi varnashrama. These are all good things. But to go back home, back to Gautama, this is something so unique, you know, so unique. See. So when somebody goes, they were very pleased to go back home, back to Gautama. See, incredible, you know. No, Prabhupada said, one moon is better than many stars. Something, Ekashchandra, for the verse anyway. Ekashchandra, Sahasra, something. You know, one moon is better. This quote from Bhaktisiddhanta. Anyway. So now, did you notice any controversies, any contradictions? Just throw the lines, quick, yeah.
Because in the purport it was saying how the living entity can have the qualities, those six opulences, up to 78%. But then shortly after he talks about how, gives the analogy of the sun when it's covered and such attributes of the living entities become almost extinct. So I found that contradiction.
Yeah. This is the first thing I noticed also. First, he gives an example that it's similarly as the sun cannot be covered by any amount of whatever, curtain. It's always, and then goes to similar living entity, although they have these attributes, they are almost extinct. How is that similarly word he uses? How do you compare these two? This is one thing. We're going to touch later on. Any own controversy, any just line without explaining, just kind of point.
It seems to be talking about great sages.
Yeah.
Satyaloka.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put your mic.
Put the mouth. Mic.
So
put the mic.
They're not talking about the. They've come from Satyaloka. They're great sages.
Yeah.
And they're pure in their motives, almost desireless. It says.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it says, he talks about they've come to rescue the living entities.
Yeah.
And the living entities they're talking about are the ones that have been covered by the cloud.
Yeah.
And so in that way, there's two subjects. There's the ones that have come to rescue the living entities, which are pure and they're virtually desireless sages and saints, like avatars, sort of thing. And it says, then they've come to help those souls that, which originally
I ask you for contradiction.
But yeah. It's been covered by a cloud. Yeah, yeah. The clouds are material modes of nature.
Yeah.
And so they're coming to rescue those people. That's their job. They're motiveless. So all these sages that are assembled at Namasharanya, they're those great sages, actually.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they've come to hear. Really associate with Parikshit.
Yeah, yeah, last moment. Great,
and help him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and support him. They're there to hear this Bhagavatam. It's the subject is the great sages who are assembled with Parikshit to support him. You know, much like the devotees go and support Jankanath in his.
Cut down. I know I controversy is pointed already.
Yeah,
this was
no, but
later
so,
we're gonna
so
elaborate
way,
more. Yeah.
The devotees come in to support whoever they are, fellow devotees. They're maybe not on the same level, but they have come to support a devotee. In the process of maybe leaving this world, there's a different thing, but we're following in their footsteps. We should be out to assist each other in our
devotional service. Prabhu, thank you. Yeah, just ask for a few lines for something. Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Sure, I caught it properly, but yeah. Did it say Satyaloka is higher than the three planetary
That's
systems?
Another one. So we're going to elaborate right now about this. So, Satyaloka, Brahmaloka, that's something which is often kind of not pointed out much. But here he said, you are good as supreme knowledge personified who resides in the planet above the worlds, three worlds, Satyaloka. And indeed, originally, a real Sanskrit word for Brahma Loka, which we call Brahma Loka, is Satya Loka. Brahma Loka is just saying, because Lord Brahma resides in Brahma Loka. It's tend to be used term Brahma Loka, but it's actually Satya Loka. This is material world, Satya Loka. It is not just one planet, it's a huge planetary systems. On one of them, Brahma resides. It's also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam that three other guna avatars, all of three, resides on Satyaloka as well. So Satyaloka is situated above the three planetary systems. How is that? It's mentioned in time of devastation when entire lower middle planetary system is burning, all universe is burning like a charcoal in a fire furnace. Maybe seen a fire furnace glowing charcoal. This is what happened on the devastation time. All universe is burning like that. And as fire is reaching upper planetary systems, all those yogis on Tapaloka, Mahaloka, Gyanaloka, they see that and they have to quit their planets because soon fire is going to reach their own planets and burn. What they do, they board kind of celestial airplanes and they fly to where? Satyaloka. And they take shelter in Satyaloka there for the time being. And it's mentioned that when Lord Brahma, on the end of Brahma's life, fire comes to his planet as well. So, on the end of their life, they go to spiritual abode as well. It's an interesting point there. As it works, there's a Satyaloka, the planet in which Brahma resides. It's also called Brahmaloka. We mentioned this. But the Brahmaloka mentioned here in this verse, as a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, is not the same as Satyaloka. Satyaloka is a material planet. But this Brahmaloka is eternal, whereas the Satyaloka planetary system is eternal. It's mentioned somewhere in the second canto, is a verse about Brahmaloka, which Brahmaloka is actually refers to Brahmajyoti and all planetary system within the Brahmajyoti. That's actually a real Sanskrit name for Brahmaloka. So Lord Brahma's abode, the highest planetary system, is called Satyaloka, or sometimes Brahmaloka. Brahmaloka usually refers to the spiritual world. The abode of Lord Brahma is Satyaloka, but because Lord Brahma resides there, it is also sometimes called Brahmaloka. See? Satyaloka is not just one planet, as mentioned, yeah, and avatars reside there. Yeah, I mentioned all this about yogis who ascend from the lower, from a heavenly planet to Satyaloka. And the seventh canto is also mentioned. It appears that human beings and asuras are subject to death, whereas demigods are not. It's a contradiction. The demigods who reside with Lord Brahma in Satyaloka go to Vaikuntha Loka in their present bodily construction at the time of the dissolution. How is that? Is that always the case? It's mentioned also in Srimad Bhagavatam it's a verse actually said. That the brahmachari who practices celibacy, perfect celibacy, at some particular stage of his life, achieves maharloka, without doing anything so-called spiritual, just practice perfectly celibacy for some time. God's maharloka. One who perfectly practices lifelong celibacy achieves jhanaloka. Then by perfect execution of vanaprastha, one may achieve tapaloka. And one who is in a renounced order of life goes to Satyaloka. So these different destinations certainly depend on the seriousness of the yoga system. So as your renouncement order yoga develops, we achieve higher and higher planetary systems. That means that perfect sannyasis almost reach spiritual world when they achieve Satyaloka, you see. And then, together with Rama, he's mentioning Srimad Bhagavatam, they go back home, back to God. That's an interesting thing. Let's go a little bit more. In fifth canto, he says that the Vedic literature describes that in Satyaloka there is no birth, there is no death, there is no old age, there is no disease. What was that? In other words, since Satyaloka is situated next to Brahmaloka, not where Brahma resides, but next to Brahmaloka or Brahman effulgence. It's very close. Satyaloka is just there. It is almost as good as Vaikuntha Loka is mentioned. Almost word. In Satyaloka, which is situated many millions and billions of years away, there is no lamentation. There is no old age. There is no death. There is no influence of anxiety or influence of enemies. It's interesting. In Satyaloka, the inhabitants are fully cognizant of Vedic wisdom, and thus the mystic cloud of material energy is cleared. Therefore, they are known as the Vedas personified. That's it in the purport of this verse. Vedas personified. Such persons, being fully aware of knowledge, both mundane and transcendental, have no interest in either the mundane or transcendental worlds. They are practically desirous devotees. Give prayers of Vedas personified in 10th canto, my maybe favorite chapter. Such amazing, elaborate descriptions. So these prayers are offered by denizens of those, you know, planets. In that planet of Satyaloka, there is neither bereavement, nor old age, nor death. There is no pain of any kind, and therefore there are no anxieties, save that sometimes, there's only anxiety they have, that sometimes due to consciousness, there is feeling of compassion for those unaware of the process of devotional service, who are subjected to unsurpassable miseries in material world. So only feeling of misery is compassion. See. So now to trash this all down to the powder. What Bhagavad Gita says, Abrahma Bunua Loka Puar Samtir Avartina Arjuna. Says even goes even up to Brahma Loka, he again comes back from the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, are all places of misery where repeated birth and death takes place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. What's that? This is contradictory completely to all these verses. No death, no birth, no old age, no disease. Bhagavad Gita says, yes, there is. That's interesting, anyway. How it works. Only a little bit hint I could get is that if you practice perfectly and you achieve this Satyaloka, it's not necessary that you can achieve love of Godhead. So if it's Satyaloka very next to the Vaikunthas, perhaps you can achieve some way Vaikuntha Lokas, which is not necessarily pure love of God. It is mentioned somewhere, I think I have here my notes. Said there are three categories of Brahma. He is mentioned in some verses that after dissolution of even Satyaloka planetary systems, all denizens together with Brahma go to the spiritual world. Is that always the case? I say again, from 11th canto. There are three categories of Brahma, Karmi, Jnani, and Bhakta. If he is Karmi, he has to come back to the material world. If he is Jnani, he gets the impersonal liberation. While if he is a devotee, he enters into the spiritual world. See? So if a devotee, Brahma, this is third category here, if he's devotee, if he thinks again, although he may be devotee, but he thinks himself to be independent. So if devotee, Brahma, thinks to be independent or equal to the Lord, he may achieve Mahavishnu's abode at the time of annihilation. But when creation starts again, he has to come again to take the post of Brahma. So that's the case of Bhakta, Brahma. You know, so if he is pure devotee, then those denizens also go with him. If he's not, it's not going to happen. See? Then he has to come back again. There's some impurities there. He thinks he's independent, or, you know, we have this Brahma Mivohana Lila. It appears that Lord Brahma would be bewildered. Who is that? I'm supreme. So, this gives you a hint that it may happen, see. That's regarding Brahma. It's not always the case that they go back home back to Godhead. That's a kind of inconsistency which I found, you know. So again, back to the last portion of this verse. They are messiahs, as Prayojana mentioned, they are messiahs to come to preach. They have nothing to do with this material world. But this mention is in Jai Shri Shirada Gokulananda Sitaramakshman Mahasivanta Ki Jai. In purport, Prabhupada mentioned they are not interested even in spiritual world, but to speak of material world. They just self-satisfied. He said, fully himself. See, they are messiahs. So this is a very difficult task, messiahs. I mean, can you just imagine, come to that state of consciousness somewhere? Maybe if you are powerful, you know, you can preach like Narada Muni or something. But to go to far place, like, I don't know, do you know any corner of the world where there is no devotees, there is no, I don't know, go to Lapland or something, you know, on your own, to preach. And then try to insert Krishna consciousness. I mean, this is very difficult. Very difficult. Like, even when you read our own, you know, acharyas, in our movement, they will go to places, my goodness, always think, God, say, how is that possible? I mean, there are, this is not extraordinary thing. Like, you know, we read so many places, pioneers in Australia, you know, or even in Islamic countries, you know. Incredible struggle, even here in London, man, you know. Struggle. At the beginning, everywhere. So it's not so easy. See, my Prabhupada, you know, he just put himself fully in Krishna's hand. I have no power. If you want to make me dance as you like. You know, by seeing these entities covered in material energies, how is it possible to penetrate? Even as I mentioned last class, Ganga, Yamuna, when they're coming to the material world, they were so enthusiastic. Yeah, we're gonna, you know, take part and you know, in the Lord's pastimes. But when they come to the border of Mahatattva, they just hesitate. So much darkness of ignorance. And we don't want to go there. So to go to places where it's ignorance, it's incredible, you know. You know, we have to be special, you know. So incredible. So that's a Messiah's business. You struggle like anything, you know. I was mentioned that qualities of the Lord, about 78% of these six attributes, fame, whatever, name them, come on. Fame, not fame, name, but fame, strength, beauty, intelligence, knowledge, renunciation. Those six present 70, up to 78% in the only living entity. So this is also in every living entity. So degree of that display makes you demon or devotee. It's there in you. So that's cloud. You can be demons. It depends on the degree of how much you uncovered. So that's a jiva's business. So though these messiahs come, try to uncover those layers. It's a long, long process, long struggle, long, you know. Sometimes thinking is impossible. You know, how is it possible? I mean, because I'm not a preacher myself. You know, like, to go somewhere, even to not go somewhere, go on the streets of England, still, the same. Try to do something in insert Krishna consciousness with the hope that they will take up the process. You know, I mean, think so many ways to try to insert Krishna consciousness, bridge preaching, any way, somehow, you know, is very difficult, you know. To preach the mission, you're like, you know, my goodness. Anyway, I lost my thought, but just talking about messiahs, you know. My goodness, you know. Is there anyone else, some other line to notes or something? About contradictories over there, or something to clear? Yeah.
It says that Satyaloka could be near Brahmajyoti,
yeah.
But that's also a contradiction because yeah. Mahavishnu has universes coming out of his skin, or his pores of the body, and then there's a huge covering over him. So then these little bubbles, how can they be so close to Brahmajyoti?
That's an interesting point. You see, like I was meditating on that as well, you know, material covering, but it says next to it, I guess. What can I say? Anyway, just these coverings are separating spiritual world from Satyaloka, you know. So how is that? And it's also above the three worlds, upper, you know, is obviously you mentioned Satyaloka is above the three planetary systems because all planetary systems are down. Satyaloka is the highest in material world, so he's above, last one who be destroyed. It's an interesting point. It's just another thought on that, that when like there are different elements, subtle and gross. See, when Mahavishnu emanates light from his, not Mahavishnu, but from the light rays of Supreme Krishna, emanates from him and lightens entire creation. In that light, there are spiritual Vaikunthas, planets. So this light in the spiritual world is like an ocean of light, where they floating. But then, when you come to the material world, this light cannot penetrate through the coverings. It's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Light cannot penetrate through the coverings of Mahatattva. And what then Supreme has to do? He has to expand himself and enter first into material planets and carry water with him, another more gross element. See, subtle elements, light cannot penetrate, but the water can. So he comes himself and emanates water from his body, which is also transcendental, but is more gross. See, in this way, and then enter into each. So that way, you cannot capture subtle element with the gross. Like for example, like if you say like I'm gonna capture the light in my box, and then when I come to my room, I just open. It's not gonna work. As soon as you close the lid, there's no light. Or you may say, I'll capture the sound, which is ether, in my box. Okay, that's so nice, kirtan. Whoop, zip, close in the tin can, and bring it in your room and just open. No, you have to have an iPod over there. It doesn't work. So in this way, like, but you can capture water from the river, close and drink it. So this gross can be captured in the material. So in that way, how it works, you know. That you cannot capture subtle elements. So that's a device of Mahavishnu to create material universe with more, a little bit more gross elements. Yeah. Any other things? I don't know.
Says also that Satyaloka, the inhabitants are fully cognizant of the Vedic wisdom, and thus the mystic cloud of material energy is cleared.
Yeah.
If they're cognizant of the wisdom, then naturally they'll be Krishna conscious. But we find that obviously this, yeah, that is not the case.
Yeah, therefore this is so rare, as I mentioned before. You can achieve Vaikuntha Loka, but not necessarily achieve this love of God. That's the thing. Therefore, he said, you know, the verse says, you know, I think Narada Muni says, somewhere here. Yeah. He says that, try to achieve that thing which is not gained even if you go to the highest planetary system or if you go to the lowest planetary system. So this very thing, this is the essence of life, this our last point, the love of God, you cannot achieve on this Satyaloka, even if you are Vedas personified. Vedas, after all, had to deal with three modes of nature. Is, you know, our Arjuna transcend three modes. So, you know, this system can help you to be elevated, to, you know, to go to Vaikuntha. But not necessarily like highest, so... At least it's not our style, our goal, or, you know. Like, would you like to go to Vaikuntha? To be honest, I don't know, I just wouldn't. Or reverence, you know, it's okay, it's like, sounds like topmost idea of Christianity, you know. Like, you bow down, glorify. Although some Christian sects don't even have a God in a picture, you know, where's the God there? It's nice, you know. Everything's nice, you know. So, you know, it's kind of like I don't know, it's my idea, boring. But then again, Vaikuntha, I'm not Vaikuntha, Golkardhan is too dynamic. You may not be able to handle that. All goes there. But I guess, you know. Anyway, what was the point? Sorry, I just lost. What did you say?
Yeah, it was that's just that, you know, if you're full of the wisdom, then automatically you think, okay, there's Krishna consciousness and you want to elevate yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
But in that same line, it actually continues. It says, in the mundane world, they have nothing to achieve.
Yeah.
And in the transcendental world, they are full in themselves.
Yeah.
Whereas we know in the mundane world, which potentially is the planets, we have Harinam. Yeah. We have many ways to actually liberate ourselves from this mundane life, birth and death.
So when you have this, you know, topmost knowledge, of course, your interest, it's amazing how this interest just goes down, you know, heavenly planets, it's nice, it's just temporary, you know, temporary, same like in this age, when you are young, it seems to me life long is long, it's forever lasting, you know, we have capacity to enjoy, you know, but if you just, you cannot even think when you are young, think that I'm going to get old, because probably it never happened anyway, you know, the thing. You get older, God's sake, life is just gone like this, you know, few moments, gone. You get old, you know, all this, yourself and a great personality you've been adoring, whatever, celebrities, they're just all grumpy men now, like, you know, which is, how is that possible? All these flashy young guys, heavy metal rockers, they were just like a god, so I was thinking, you know. Grumpy man, like nobody remembers them anymore. So in the same way, you go to heavenly planets and your garland start to wither, you are in panic. In panic. Soon I'm going to go back. But then Vaikuntha also, I don't know how he is. I probably know any idea how he is, but you know, awe and reverence, it's not appealing much. Anyway, any thoughts? Anyone?
Well, there's this book called The Glories of Mother Ganges, right?
Yeah.
In there was an interesting pastime. To show the potency of the glories of Mother Ganges, the wife of King Bhishmaka, who was the father of Rukmini, right? She wasn't being properly taken care of. In this book, it explains this leader from some Purana. And one demon came to her and said, "Would you like to come with me and we can enjoy and go to some place?" So she agreed. So they went to the where does the Ganges merge with the ocean? Bay of Bengal.
Ganga Sagar, yeah. Ganga, I mean, Sagar. Like with the Bay of Bengal.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so they went in that area. Both of them went in that area, and suddenly she lost her life there. She lost her life, and the demon also lost his life, and they both entered Vaikuntha.
Oh.
So this is a show the potency of the glories of Mother Ganges, that anyone who leaves his body in that area, whether on the land, in the sky, in the water, they enter Vaikuntha.
So incredible that your heart can believe. It's too cheap, Prabhu. But trust us anyway. Because I'm skeptic anyway, naturally. Actually, this is one of my greatest anatta, probably. Skepticism. I always split in the points and, you know, just seeing things a bit different, you know. It's incredible. This brought me to this process. And my skepticism somehow was always defeated, so still here, you know. Hopefully, never leave. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.